Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review. That's right, I'm Tim Geddes. I'm joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the morning to you, Tim.
The big daddy, Greg Miller.
Hello, everybody, I'm back. I know that the Kinda Funny was off for a few days. I was also off in the beginning of the week, though.
Oh, okay.
And let me tell you, a piss poor reception to me coming in today.
Yeah?
Piss poor. All I got was cool Greg going, hey, come on! Where's the pomp and circumstance? Daddy's home, Andy! And he hasn't been crazy in a week.
Oh, strap in. We're recording this at 9 a.m. on a Monday, which is normal earlier than we normally record things. So I'm excited to see how Greg's going to be by the Kinda Funny podcast at the end of the day that we're doing at 3 p.m. with Lazinski.
That's correct.
So you can check out patreon.com/kindoffunny. But rounding out the group right now, the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
I went to bed at 9 in the morning for most of the holiday.
It was a long enough break that you're like, oh, I can go into full Andy.
That's where I'm at, yeah.
Yeah? How's the transition back? Are you here?
I mean, I've been in the Pokemon world.
Woohoo!
Me too, baby. Dude.
So much to talk about, Andy. We'll talk about that on other shows, because this is Kinda Funny's MCU in Review, where each and every week we rank, review, and recap different movie franchises. Of course, you could watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You could also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we will be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and watch it live as we record it, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like some of our Patreon producers, Morgan Lorraine, Fargo Brady, Hillary Bernard, ID Raven, Immersion Fragrances, Delaney Twining, Christopher Rodriguez, the Kinda Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan, Corey Turnipseed, Tall Tree 81, Trent Berry, Joseph A. Carlson, Tranquil Uranium, Macro, 1UP Pest Control, Alex J. Sandoval, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, and Carrie Palmer have done. Thank you.
Y'all ever notice there's a lot of outlets up there? What are we going to plug in?
For sure.
Greg, would you believe that you can't plug anything there or it might blow power?
I 100% believe that. Should I be alarmed that one of them is plugged in? There is one thing plugged in.
No, it's just a Skycam. Hold on. Where is it? Hold on. There it is. Now look at, yeah, it's looking at you now.
Here's a fun story. One time Tim was like, right before lunch, Tim was like, can we throw two smoke machines into the mix here? And I'm like, that's going to blow the entire building up.
I wanted to ask for the freaking smoke machines for years, but I was always like, there's never the right time. I'm feeling the vibe. It's not the right time. And there was one beautiful, beautiful moment where I had the opening where Nick felt apologetic about something. I don't even remember what the fuck it was.
I can't remember what it was.
There was a moment of silence, and I was like, smoke machines. And he was like, fine, we're getting the fucking smoke machines. Here they are, baby!
It is for sure broken, like, two extension cords.
Yeah.
We popped a couple things.
Yeah.
Tim's smoke machines are my basketball court.
You have to find something to laud over their heads so that you get in there.
You gotta wait. It shouldn't be hard. Today, we're brought to you by Chime, Shady Rays, and Mint.
I'm back, baby!
Impeccable timing all around.
Only one win.
Chime, Shady Rays, and Mint Mobile, but we'll tell you about all of those later. We're going to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special released on November 25th, 2022 on Disney Plus with a runtime of 42 minutes. It is the second Marvel Studios special presentation following Werewolf by Night that came out just a couple months ago. There are no future special presentations announced right now, but there's a whole bunch of them rumored, and I have a feeling we're gonna get a lot more soon, which is cool. This was directed by James Gunn, Who also did, of course, all of the Guardians movies. He's about to do Guardians 3. He did the Suicide Squad. He's leading up DCU, the DC film situation going on over there. And supposedly by the end of the year, we're about to get a whole slate announcement for 10 years, which is very
exciting.
Nick
gained so much weight over the holidays, he can't even fit in the box.
can you just let baby! Tim finish the intro one time? Let him finish it one time.
He's on, Nick. He's on.
He's on today.
Kevin, you got
to
trim the box.
I want you to get up on a ladder and plug some stuff in. Would you please just replug everything.
The music for this one was done by John Murphy. A couple things here I didn't know about this John Murphy fellow. Did the Suicide Squad score as well with, the Suicide Squad with James Gunn. And he's doing Guardians 3, replacing Tyler Bates. And I don't know why that's happening.
What about DJ Junkie XL?
DJ Junkie XL? Nothing to do
with
this one.
Whatever happened to him?
I mean, he's out there DJing.
Oh, okay.
Junk it. I don't know.
Just checking out.
But what's interesting about this guy, John Murphy, is he did that song that was in originally in 28 Days Later and then was reused in like everything hype and epic going forward. Right. The X-Men, Nick, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, he's gone.
Nick's gone.
That was weird.
You can still hear him. We don't have Slack on the computer that controls things, the LED walls. So I have to transfer over the files via
Discord. I'm so happy to be home.
And on top of that, we need to build a better system for updating the poster in the background.
It does say Wakanda Forever.
Which, to be clear, is not the movie that we're reviewing.
Hey, man, we came in hot from a holiday. It's all right. It doesn't matter.
I want you guys to know.
Jeremy Sphincter X over here loves it. Don't worry about it.
You can see this on the video, but like I was not looking there, and I'm just so used to this the studio talking to people, and even if someone's on the wall, it feels like they're here. So did you understand how surprised I was when I turned and Nick's just
he's
gone.
He's missing.
He Batmaned me. That was ridiculous. No, the song, it was Nick knows what I'm talking about. It was in the X-Men, I want to say Days of Future Past trailer, and it was also in Kick-Ass. During one of the pivotal scenes. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't know the song. I just know of us mentioning it on several interviews.
It's called Adagio in D Minor. And it is just like...
classic.
It's fucking awesome. YouTube this shit, and you're gonna be like, I've heard
this. I'm a YouTuber right now.
A million times. And it's dope as hell. Always YouTube.
Nick, can you play it on your cell phone?
No, please don't.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
And yeah, budget, box office. We don't got any of that stuff, because this is a Disney Plus era, baby. Anyways, Guardians.
I called myself Junkie XL from the point of view that once you're completely overworked, you never want to go there again. The XL stands for expanding limits, broadening up your vision.
Wow, that's cool.
Whoa.
I would have just expected a size.
Yeah?
When's he going to be DJ Junkie Schmedian?
Guess how old DJ Junkie XL is?
45.
Guess. Okay, great. We got 45 on the clock.
Oh, man. I don't know. But I'm going to go 40.
Wow. No. Nick, what do you got?
Why does he call himself Hans Zimmer?
Great one. He is actually, ladies and gentlemen, 54. All right, he's 54.
He's 54.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I don't think, similar to skateboarding after 30, you can't call yourself DJ Junkie XL.
Andy Cortez, what do you think about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special?
I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. I think it was interesting that we're watching these characters we've seen in so many goddamn movies, and
so many.
At this point, we've become so accustomed to not expecting major action or anything like that. Like this, like it's wild that we've gotten to that point, and it's natural for us. I'm
where you can see a superhero movie and there's not fighting a supervillain.
Yeah, the fact that these are just, it's like watching characters on The Office or Seinfeld or something starring in something else. It's like when Seinfeld popped up in Curb Your Enthusiasm, you're just kind of just used to your characters that you've seen, and you love their relationships, and you love that they are still building bonds and forming extra levels of friendship. And yeah, I thought it was pretty solid throughout. I'm constantly just cracking up at Drax and Mantis. I love their humor. And then, of course, it ends with the...
Forget about the Zargnuts!
It ends with a beautiful gut punch, man. Like, it ended so strongly that I kind of was okay with the rest of it being, like, not amazing. Enjoyed it, but it ended on such a strong note that I'm like, God dang, that was really fun, and I'm glad we watched it.
Nick Scarpino, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with Andy, right? I mean, this is pretty lighthearted fare. I think the moments of this that really stick out to me are just when they're bumming around. You know, they're at Man Chinese Theater and they're taking cosplay pictures with all the people that, and they don't realize why that's happening.
It's also all those. That was a great scene until you realize, of course, they're there doing all this on the site where many people lost their lives in a terrorist attack.
Yeah,
and Man's Chinese Theater was so quick to gloss over the extremist problems that they just put it all back
money
up.
Talks.
They
money
put
talks,
all this back up there. It fucking makes me sick to my stomach to think about all the lives lost there at the MCU Man's Chinese Theater. Not even a fucking memorial statue. Just Kingo posters everywhere.
Everywhere.
You got to feel like at least like Robert Downey Jr., like Tony Stark or Junkie XL, they rebuilt it.
Yeah.
Sure. But you put down a little plaque, you say, in the memory of, I forget how many people died, at least that one guy.
I definitely don't remember the number.
Anyway, I dug this. I mean, a lot of these shows, a lot of these things, like my only criticism is I don't really, you know, to Andy's point, I don't like it when they start turning into action-y stuff. But in this one, it was all good fun. And I'll be honest with you, I did not think they were going to get Kevin Bacon for this whole thing. I thought it was going to be like a ditch effort, to do something. And they were going to randomly show up and he was going to have a cameo. But the fact that he's in it from like the jump, and they also got Kira Sedgwick, I think.
Yeah, they did.
That's her, yeah. Freaking awesome.
It's Nick, hilarious. How much did you love in the opening credits where they go and introducing Kevin Bacon?
It's so funny. And Kevin Bacon is just a good sport about it, right? The fact that he's just kind of along for the ride and having a good time is so good.
It's going to get complicated when they bring in all the X-Men stuff.
Bacon here. Andy, how taken aback are you that Kevin Bacon still has that hairline?
Amazing head of hair. Holy cow.
Just a great head of hair.
I mean, is it a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino. What's going on with Star-Lord, man? He's definitely got something up top. Oh, yeah. Chris Pratt does not have that head of hair. They definitely laid something on top of the foundation.
Nick is wig bewildered right now.
Yeah.
He's wigging out.
I didn't notice it. Well, one of the things that I did notice was that all the characters, I mean, obviously, like, this is lit sort of like a TV special. And
it
so,
was lit.
Yeah. But I feel like a lot of the characters just sort of showed up and they were like, cool, just get the old costume back on and like, we'll just deal with what's going to happen. But I just thought that was his normal hair. If you'd have told me it was like, I don't know, I did not notice anything out of the mix, but I am feeling a little sick today. So it's possible that that big wig poisoned me and now I'm feeling sick because they didn't want me to expose them.
You don't have all your faculties with you. That's okay. That's okay. I got your back, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Tim, what did you do?
But anyway.
Greg. Enjoyed it. Greg Miller.
Didn't go before me. It's fine.
I'll go before Greg. Fine. I love this. Of course, I feel like James Gunn has been one of my favorite visionaries of the MCU for so long because of characters, because of those emotional moments, and he made it work in 42 minutes. I am known to be a Grinch when it comes to holidays, Christmas in particular, I really don't care for. So these type of holiday specials, I don't care for that stuff, but I care for the nostalgia. I love starting this off with the rotoscoped animated style, bringing it all together, using that to kind of fill in a lot of the like fun gaps and have reveals that like I wasn't expecting, including like the element guns coming from Yondu. Like such a great moment, and it makes sense and it adds up. Mantis. Star-Lord, like their familial situation being addressed is like the type of stuff I'm looking for. Rocket getting Bucky's arm. It's just like there was so many more moments like that than I expected in this, on top of as many laugh out loud moments as I expected. Some things don't hit. That's James Gunn's style. I'm okay. I'm along for the ride. I love this use of the characters. I love the introduction of Cosmo, who we've seen before in Guardians 1, but like actually getting her to talk, it being her, it being the actress from Borat 2. She's fantastic in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. But yeah, had a great time with this overall. I love that James Gunn is just like, I'm going to have fun and I'm going to really pay tribute to my nostalgia for things. And sure. He like goes it really hard into that. And it's a lot of stuff that I don't know. Like I don't really have a touchstone to a lot of his music tastes. And I feel like he's introduced me and many other people to different styles of music over his last couple movies. And I love this is him going really into like Christmas music in a weird way where every single song here like had a purpose, just like every song he ever uses. So I enjoyed that stuff. This felt like a James Gunn through and through, and I mean that in all the right ways. I love seeing characters that are movie characters just be able to hang out and do things on a different format, and I just love that this format exists. I think that it's so cool to see Werewolf by Night be as like different from this and also even from the MCU as it was, and this committing to that network TV holiday special vibe. Yeah. But that is really undermining what this is, because like this was made in the style of that, but with the budget of a movie and sets of movies and characters and costumes for movies. So it's like, it was really cool. And I love getting more of the Mantis, Drax, like them getting the focus, I thought was really cool, because I doubt we're going to get that in Guardians 3. And they really are kind of like side characters. So
a nice little send off.
Yeah, it's like a nice thing to like give them a little bit of moment. And I never noticed how dope Mantis's costume is, like where she has like the back kind of like goes out like looking like a praying mantis, and when she was jumping around,
dude, like, when she's on the walls like hissing or whatever,
scary as shit. Awesome. I love that. Awesome. But that's James Gunn, right? It's just like, look, let's have fun with the stupid action. I'm never not gonna laugh if a character in a fight grabs your face and says sleep, and they did it back to back like 10 times, I just laughed hard at each time.
Does this look like a man to you? No,
love it. Love it. Greg, what'd you think?
I loved it. I to jump off of what you're saying, I thought this outkicked the coverage by quite a bit. You know, we had watched trailers for it, obviously, and known this, that, the other, but when you say holiday special, I think the Star Wars special. So I thought this might be a bit more like, and I'm dating myself, and I wasn't alive for these, but I definitely saw them in syndication, like the Dean Martin Christmas specials where someone knocks on a very clearly fake door and you open up and, oh, it's you know, whoever, Frank Sinatra. Yeah, exactly. And they'll come in and they have a drink. And so I wasn't sure what the vibe was going to be. And like it's been brought up, of course, it's lit like a TV thing. It's, you know, shot like a TV thing. But it looks great, and it looks like when they jumped to Earth, right? When they got in, it was like, damn, this looks like the movies. Like, this looks awesome, let alone the animation that we'll talk about, I'm sure, in the plot summary in the front and back, right? How good I thought that looked and how unique that looked. Like, I was, from start to finish, locked in on this, to the point of, we watched it, you know, 5 in the morning because Ben was on Chicago time. Then we watched it again last night putting up the Christmas tree. And it was that thing where, it was, let's put it on in the background, and it immediately became, we're watching all of this, and then we'll get to the tree. And it was the same thing as it was the first time, where I was like, shit, is it almost over? Fuck, this is going so fast, because it's so good. And it's so, honestly, straightforward, right? It is very much, like, it's a nice plot summary for old Greg Miller, because it is just like, bam, ba-bam, ba-bam, and we're done. And it's like, they did all that and still hit you in the feels, still made it look great. And, you know, yeah, gave it a really nice adventure. Everything everybody said. I had a great time with this one. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great start to the Christmas and holiday season.
Absolutely. We're about to get into the plot, give all of our thoughts. But before we do that, real quick, want to read some more Patreon producers. Skylar Peterson, Casey Andrew, Elliot, Brian Chaney, Casey Kern, G. Greg, Trevor Starkey, Adam, Jacob Moyfelt, Super Daddy Kyle, Undertopian, David Mintel,
The Mind Freak,
Jordan from Kansas, Cameron Bowes, Jay Colves, David Huzanga, Jerica Chu, Molecule, Nathan Lamoth, Monica Boomenlog, and Delaney Twining. Thank you all so very much. Because you support us on Patreon, you don't need to hear our ads. But for everyone else, here's the ads. Shout out to Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. This holiday season, the best deal in wireless can only be found at Mint Mobile. Right now, when you switch to Mint Mobile and buy any 3-month plan, you'll get another 3 months for free. Mint Mobile lets you order and activate from home with eSIM while saving tons on phone plans starting at just $15 a month. I've had my mom using Mint Mobile long before this holiday deal, and I have to say, now is the perfect time to switch. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily and effortlessly with eSIM. Or if you need a new device for a limited time, get 6 months of free service when you buy a select device and plan. For a limited time, buy any 3-month Mint Mobile plan and get 3 more months free by going to mintmobile.com/kindafunny. That's mintmobile.com/kindafunny. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/kindafunny. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I don't think so. At Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames.
games. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank, N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary, and some user scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs at 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. So again, start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/KFGames. That's chime.com/KFGames. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Look how cool I look. You too can look this cool without breaking the bank this holiday season. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 shades for a fraction of the price and a fraction of that price during their biggest Black Friday sale ever. The best part about Shady Rays is their insane protection program featuring lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Dropped in the lake, off a cliff, anything. If you get the wrong style for yourself or someone else, no need to worry. Avoid the hassle and the forced thank yous with free 30-day exchanges and returns. You will either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. Act now for the best Black Friday selection. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. And now here's the plot.
Just hear those sleigh bells ringling, ding, ding, dingling too. We're gonna miss James Gunn. He's taking his fun to the DCU. That's it.
That was good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Marvel's The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, or whatever the fuck they officially call it. Who knows? It starts, you hit the play, and you get the Marvel Studios logo. Well, you get the thing, and it's all the old comic things, and it's all from the Christmassy stuff that's come before. And you're like, that's
super cool.
Then they show the Marvel Studios logo, and it's got Christmas lights on it. You're like, this is cool. I like this a lot.
Shuri's in there?
Of course. As
Black
she should
Panther.
Be.
She should
be. Yeah. Bam, spoiler.
And She-Hulk.
And then, of course, guess what? You're into it. It's animated. What? Did I miss this? Is this entire thing animated? No, ladies and gentlemen, it's just the opening. And what it is of course, a flashback to the one and only Kraglin and Peter setting up a little Christmas tree with a bunch of different things.
Peter.
And in walks the one and only Yondu. What I was telling Barrett in the car this morning, and Jen, and basically anybody who'll talk to me about this thing, is if they didn't mocap this or film it and then go over it, hats off to the animators, because
that's rotoscoping.
No, that's rotoscoping.
Really great, because it's like it is. They do such a great job. I'm watching. I'm like, the style is unique and it looks cool, but then it also they're nailing every one of Yondu, you know, Michael Rooker's mannerisms and what he's doing and stuff. So this,
yeah, that's how they do it.
And rotoscoping, to be correct, is they filmed it and then drew over.
Yeah. They awesome. Did it back for the Lord of the Rings animated show in or movie, whatever it was. The Hobbit. That's what it was.
Yeah.
The
even
Hobbit.
Even when you look at old, like there's old animations where Disney would reuse stuff, like you'd see the same kind of
like
movement animations in Cinderella and then in another movie, but it's always like very, very lifelike because it's filmed and then that film is used as super one-to-one
really
reference.
Cool. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, it looked great.
And so we get here, the fact that Yondu hates Christmas and, you know, Peter's trying to bring Christmas and, Kraglin's there and he's, you know, you talking back and blah, blah, and they throw it all away and there was Taserface gift in there too, don't get me wrong.
I love Kraglin's voice. He Stronger. Just has such a good, just like that. Like I'm just second in command.
He fits. He fits a perfect little corner. You are meant to be. You were the Tetris block that like we needed in that moment.
And shout out to him because I remember when we watched the original Guardians, like, oh, that's James Gunn's brother. You're like, okay, well, nepotism. And then it's like, I love Kraglin so much at this point. You're like, oh man, okay, James Gunn just knew his brother could kick some fucking ass, and he did.
They're sisters in this too. I think it's a half sister, but she's one of the tourists.
You could tell.
Oh, I was wondering. Yeah,
you could tell it's all homies that they've worked. I mean, his wife is in Peacemaker. His fucking grandma was Iron Man.
Grandma was Iron Man. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't think it was his wife then. I think I don't even know if they were dating at that point. Peacemaker, right?
No, yeah, they were
dating.
They'd been together for a while.
On their beautiful Instagram post, their wedding, they mentioned something like they've been together 7 years or something. Anyways, I digress. It doesn't matter for this. Yondu trashes the tree and ruins Christmas. And then, boom, we cut out of that, and we are in nowhere. And Kraglin is like, and that's why Pete is like, you know, that Yondu hates Christmas, and you ruin Christmas, and Pete never had a Christmas. And I think I was looking at the multi-calendar, and I see that we're coming up pretty quick on Christmas here. And maybe that's why Pete's so sad. And then Nebula's like, ever since we bought Nowhere from the collector. Ooh. Yeah, we haven't had time to really have any fun hijinks, like Christmas time included or whatever.
Magnificent!
There it is. There it
fucking
is.
That guy. You know what I mean? Every time his card pops up and snap, I'm like, ah, oh, here we fucking go. anyways, though. So, yeah, that's happening. And so we see that Peter's sad there. And we get Peter down there, and he's getting people to sign some paperwork. That's really cool. And then from there, we get jump around. And this is where we get introduced to Cosmo, like you're talking about. Rocket and Cosmo are working on a thing over there. Rocket is being mean. Cosmo drops it on. I was like, I'm not going to do this until you be nice to me. And then also give me one of those delicious treats.
So cute.
Love it.
That's so such good. A good-looking CG dog right there. Like, it looked so convincing, man.
And so then, of course, we get back to Peter, who's walking over there. There's a bunch of aliens out there, the old 97s, who have that's who they are in real life.
Who are the old 97s, Greg?
They are a band. Familiar. I listened to them on the way to work. Yeah, okay. James Gunn tweeted about it before I watched it, and I didn't look at it, so I bounced away. I think it's just one of the bands he really likes, but I could be wrong. Kevin, go to James Gunn's Instagram or Twitter.
They played at his wedding, probably.
Probably. But they come out and they kill it with this Christmas time song that's really funny because, of course, it's not – they don't know what Christmas is, but Peter told Kraglin, who told Rocket, who told Cosmo, who told the lead singer of the band. Great. And so this is through many different lenses and starts off really great. And then, of course, it gets into crazy shit that doesn't make any sense, but still very, very funny. Lots of great lines.
I love, like, you just started playing these instruments.
Yeah.
I love the cutbacks to Star-Lord and him just kind of, like, dealing with it all. But my favorite is when one of the lyrics is, like what is a Yuletide or whatever? And what is, like, why? Who did that to Rudolph? Yeah. And you see Star-Lord, like, actually question it, like, that was a good question.
For me, it was when Mrs. Claus works the pole. Like, yeah. And then also, they'll shoot missiles at your toes. Because it's one of those you, like, hear, oh, okay, that's cute. They play, they rock, they stop. Peter just wants to go about his life and be sad. Because, of course, Gamora's missing still or whatever. She's gone. Then we jump up to Mantis and Drax, who are like, man, we got to do something. Mantis is like, I really feel like I should do something. Why? You know my secret. That you ate all the Zarg nuts? No. The fact that I'm Peter's sister, right? That Ego is my dad as well.
But I need to stop you there. Because before we went live, I think
this is Rhett Miller. Sorry. The Guardians of the Galaxy is live on Disney Plus today. If you watched it, James Gunn is straight up magic. I'm so grateful that he asked the old 97s to play as part of this brilliant, sweet, funny work of art.
There you go.
You can listen to them. Their number one song on Spotify right now is called Champaign, Illinois. And so I listened to it in the car this morning, and then I immediately sent it to Bless. I'm like, they do not like your city. And he was like, this is an accurate representation.
Before we went live, Nick was commenting. I'm just
hold on. This is the one I was talking about. Kevin got it now. James Gunn tweeted, when I wrote a song for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, I asked my pal Rhett Miller to write with me and then said, why don't you and the old 97s play the band? Some of the most fun days ever. So there you go. It's one of his friends is in that band. And there you go.
That's cool.
Adds up. Before we went live, Nick was commenting on Batista's little vest. And like he didn't say it in a way where he said it was a positive or a negative. So I'm interested. Where do you fall on this vest, Nick? I'm invested.
Which vest is the best?
Are you not going to finish the song?
Nah, that's it. When Andy doesn't jump in to help me, I'm like, all right, this bit's dead in the water. You know what I mean?
Andy, for the last time, you've
I threw the ball and we threw it off the top of the Sears Tower.
Well, that's already which death is the best.
Yeah, but people who watch that show don't watch the show.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of crossover in our content. I mean, I love the vest. I mean, but candidly, Batista's been he's talked a lot about how hard it is to stay in shape for these things. The guy has to be shirtless the entire time. So if this makes it a little easier for him to get in there and just have fun with the character, I'm all about it. I don't mind it whatsoever.
He definitely was threatening, right? Of like, you know, not threatening, but like after in interviews before this and before three, he's been like, three is my last one. Like, I'm going to have saggy man boobs, and I'm going to be all these different things. So it'd be cool if they were like, all right, you know, calm down.
Vest it up.
We get you a vest. We'll be all right there, Drax.
Which is fine.
If we can make Thor fat, we can come up with a reason why you can be clothed.
Fair enough.
Anyways, more Zargnut jokes here that I really like until Mantis yells about Zargnuts. But again, she's his sister. She feels like it'd be a really great gift, and she feels the familial ties to Christmas. They should do this. Drax has a great idea. Wait, we can give him something no one else could ever give him. The one man he's told all the stories about, Kevin Bacon. And they're like, we're going to go kidnap Kevin Bacon, and this is a great idea. So they pretty much, here we go. We're going to Hollywood now, right? We're in the spaceship. We're shooting through the...
Did you turn on the...
No, that, yeah. This is honestly one of the funniest jokes, I think, in the goddamn thing, where when they approach into Hollywood and they make their descent, we open to the first woman on the sidewalk sobbing. Because, of course, we always joke around about this. If you were in the MCU Every time any of these people would show up, right, you'd be like, I'm about to die. I'm about to get snapped out of existence. The city's about to get wiped out. So this one woman out jogging sees a spaceship and just bursts into tears.
It's the funniest thing.
It's like the most funny PTSD you'll see in a long time. Yeah, then it was the nose joke, right, of like, do you activate the cloning device or the cloaking device? Yes. I just saw you turn it on in front of me. Should have brought Groot. They land and they need to find Kevin Bacon, so they walk down to the Hollywood sign into Man's Chinese Theater, home of the extremist attack in 2007. Never forget. You know what I mean? Then you forgot, James Gunn. Where's the memorial to at least the one guy? I forget if other people died. Happy survived, I remember.
He
almost gave his life doing it. Where's the memorial to Happy? Not even the memorial, just the, hey, this guy saved it. You know what I mean?
Happy's here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the usual thing of all the people dressed as the heroes getting their photos for money. Mantis sees a Captain America, yells Steve, runs over, hugs him, he runs away. Drax sees a GoBot, tries to kill him.
Like, this is the type of thing, this is the James Gunn shit that I appreciate, where none of this makes sense. Like, why is he bringing so much attention to the GoBot?
Why not?
Which, like, holds a very special place in my heart, growing up a Transformers fan, where I was like, you get the knockoff ones from, like, garage sales. I was like, which Transformers is this? And then I learned it's a GoBot. Like, GoBot, dude?
Yeah.
And so the fact that they made canon that this GoBot,
I love it,
Psy-Kill, is the like related to Drax at all, in the, that these things exist in the universe, is the fucking funniest thing, because Disney does not own this at all.
No, like, this is so what James Gunn does, right? We saw this in Peacemaker, where he dropped all the DC references he wanted in there. We just tweet canon.
Can you scroll down, Kevin? Because we see, did you have the license to GoBots from Hasbro for that joke? Probably either way, he said yes. They were awesome enough to agree. Really grateful for that.
So cool.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah, they were awesome enough to agree. James Gunn comes by and I'm like, hey, Greg, we want to cast you as a pedophile in this thing. He's in a poster in the background. I'm like, do whatever you want, James. Put me in the MCU. Fucking Hasbro sitting on the gold mine of GoBots. Must be putting the giant, biggest cinematic universe of all time. I think they're going to be okay.
That's really funny, because there is an ongoing thing with James Gunn. I think one of the reasons he did this was there's a hero named Rom, which is a Marvel hero that's also a robot. That's similar into the GoBots world, and it's one of the few characters that they don't have the film rights to. That and Bug, I think, is the other one. So he's always wanted to get him in the movies, but he's not allowed to. So I think this might have been
cute.
Him trying his best for it. I do also real quick want to shout out the line. Do you think Kevin Bacon's the leader of the whole world or just to most people?
They get down there. They start taking photos with people. They start getting money. They're like, this is a great gig. So they just keep doing this. There's one funny, I forget, where Mantis gets in the photo with somebody and she doesn't vibe with the character that's in there. I forget what character it is, though. She's like doing weird. Doesn't matter. If anybody remembers me. It was some kind of dunk on somebody. Doesn't matter. But they make a lot of money and that's great, right? And so that's all well and good. And then thank
God
you.
Of War,
yeah. I got a photo with the God of War. Great. Anyways, from there, you know, they get a lot of money and that's great. So they take it to a bar down the street right across from Musso and Frank's. If you're ever in LA, down there, go eat at Musso and Frank's. It's an experience. I love it.
And this is the first time we see the Kingo poster in the back for Kingo Christmas. Oh, there's one before this?
This in Man's Chinese Theater, there's one there.
Oh, shit.
If, Kevin, if you want to go to Kumail's Twitter, he put up a
damn, YouTube. I didn't even notice this. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's Kingo Christmas and then, something about Kingo something or other.
That's awesome.
Anyways, they go down there. There's a bar. Do you think anybody here will know Kevin Bacon? They go in. It's a fucking scene. Mantis has got arms full of money. He walks up to the bar. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, well, this is in another language. But yeah, there you go. See, different two posters. Kingo Christmas, Kingo's Christmas, and whatever the other one is. Oh, and then Kumail. Yep. So then they go in there, and they get a bunch of shots.
From the bartender.
Yeah, that guy from Pitch Perfect, the guy from YouTube, the guy from Suicide Squad.
Lou Laborg, who, like, I don't think his shtick's ever going to get old to me. Anything time he talks, it's fucking funny. When he says, why would I know where Kevin Bacon is located? Like, that was just written for him to say and only be funny with him saying it, and it fucking nailed it. But I will say, I just said he'll never get old. That is not true, because me and G watched episode one of the Pitch Perfect Peacock show.
Oh, right. I've seen a lot of previews of this.
It is fucking abysmal. Music numbers off the goddamn chain. They're so hype. The fact that they made a show around it, it's like, what are you doing?
How much do you think he got paid for this gig?
For this one?
Yeah.
Not that much.
give me a number. What's a number that, like, James is going to be like, hey, I want you to just come say this one line, you are the bartender?
I don't know.
Couple grand.
Really?
Okay. I don't know. Here's the thing, we're not bartering. It's like SAG. SAG's involved, right? So you figure there's that whole thing. I don't know what a day rate is for an actor or how any of that shakes out.
Yeah.
You want, I can call Nolan.
He's not, he's not getting the normal day rate. He's not getting like $2,000 a day. He's getting a little bit more than that. He's got a little bump. He's got a little bump.
Flew LeBorg.
That guy got a solid, that guy got a cool $2,500 at minimum.
It's cool.
Anyways, they get shots. Mantis drinks it, and then she like spits out steam, and then she goes off to find Kevin Bacon, but then ends up dancing.
Great visuals. And this is another James Gunn thing of just like the comedy through like body horror and shit, but just fucking Mantis, who's always the ugliest looking thing ever, right?
What?
Her just fucking.
Oh, she's adorable. What are you talking about?
Ugly because the antennae?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Let's all act like we're not above.
What are you
talking
about? Mantis is a fucking cutie pie. I love Mantis.
I mean, I love Mantis too. It's okay that she's ugly.
Whoa!
Man, you're taking the Drax side
you're
of this equation.
Crazy, this bro.
I mean,
I'm with Andy.
You're crazy. All right.
Y'all can go fuck whatever bugs you want to fuck. That's cool, dude.
You're fuck crazy, dude.
Fuck the bugs, bro.
Kevin's laughing at us and yelling bug fuckers.
She's part celestial,
bug
right?
Bug fuckers.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what. Bug fuckers. Anyways. She goes to dance. A guy comes up to hit on Drax, which I love. And then you want to come dance and dancing's for the week or something like that. And he laughs. And then it's them doing shots and hanging out and having all this. And they just party. They just party and get down in there, which I'm a big fan of. This leads to them being drunk on the street. You know, we'll never find Kevin Bacon. How would we know where he lives? A woman overhears this. She sells maps to the stars.
And here's my favorite joke of the whole episode.
I've lost my money.
Giving her, here's the map. I don't have my money on me. And Mantis knows I got to use my powers. Touches her hand and says, you'll give me the map for free. She gives the map for free and touches her hand again and goes, give me all your money. Like that moment is like, that moment made me laugh so much. It was just such a small, subtle line that you could tell, like, we don't know if we're going to keep it in or not, but the delivery on it was just so fucking pitch perfect. I laughed so hard. I was just like, and also give me your money. So good, dude.
So now they have the map of the stars. We get a quick shot of it. It's Margot Robbie, John Cena, Mark Paul Goslinger. Gosler. Well, I'm trying here. All right, it's been a while. I just know him as Zach Morris. Is that okay?
Sure,
is that good enough
Zach
for you?
Attack, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
DM.
Somebody else I forget, though. Doesn't matter. And then Kevin Bacon's.
Queen Latifah?
Yep, Queen Latifah. Yeah. So then we shoot over there. We're outside of Kevin Bacon's house. They ring the doorbell. Well, Kevin Bacon, we already got introduced, by the way, of course, was, Kira, and talked to Kira. And was like, perfect Christmas. Can't wait for you to get back from New York. You know, he goes in and he makes sandwiches or whatever. And then they ring the doorbell.
But Kevin Bacon, just fucking crushing. Like, in every imaginable way in this. But I just love that he, at this point, home alone, he's got his food ready. He sits down on the couch, so stoked to be watching this, like, holiday thing. And he's just like, yeah.
He's cracking up, man.
I fucking love
that. What a house, too. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah. Shot on location at Kevin Bacon's house, I heard.
Really?
No.
Wow.
It probably was.
That's
always the thing I wonder. I'm like, is that really his house?
No.
That house was dope.
That seems like it's probably his house.
Not enough security, number one. And number
no, but
two,
like, it doesn't have to be the outside of his house. I'm saying like the inside. I bet you that's
his
house.
They didn't shoot in his house. I guarantee that.
I doubt
can
it.
Somebody,
but James Gunn is James
tweet
Gunn.
Let's tweet a James Gunn. Were you shooting inside of, not necessarily the outside. I don't want him to think like we don't want to dox him or whatever. But
Well, the address I doubt is his. It was 1988, which I think is like a fun Kevin Bacon reference.
It's probably like a Footloose reference. I don't know when Footloose came out, but it was probably in 88, something like
sounds
that.
Right. Yeah, I just assumed.
Yeah,
we're
makes sense.
And he's dumb. Greg is diving.
Great.
Was that the real inside of Kevin Bacon's
house? Greg, I'm with you 100%
house?
On this one.
Question mark.
I do love that James Gunn
is
just on
Andy
Twitter
is so
answering
dumb.
Questions at all times. And this is one that I'm sure he's waiting for.
We'll wait.
anyways,
they're doorbell. They do this. He calls it. I'm gonna call the cops. He starts calling the cops. Drax smashes through the window. The chase is on. He's throwing down Christmas trees. He's calling. He runs upstairs. Mantis is jumping on the walls, doing all her crazy moves. You know, he gets out. He jumps out the back of his bedroom window. Comes down to the thing. Comes outside. You know, Drax and Mantis are in chase. Drax says, stop. I skipped all this, but you watch the fucking show. Mantis has her candy cane. He dropped his funny little man. He wants to go back for the funny little man. They have this whole exchange of like, do you want the funny little man or do you love Peter? And he's like, funny little man. He's like, no! Come on! And so they give chase to Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's on the street and he's running and we see them jumping on the side hedges. Mantis doing a little weird Mantis-y jump. Drax doing just a big old Drax jump. The cops are there. Kevin Bacon runs up to him. You know, he's like, help, help. You got to stop me from these people or whatever. And then they come over and they're like, stop or we'll shoot. You stop approaching, stop approaching. They keep approaching. They start shooting at Drax. He's like, oh, it tickles. I'm going to pee my pants because bullets don't hurt Drax. He's a big, tough guy. And then Mantis gets over there and she, you know, grabs the cop. And she's using the candy cane to fight him. And she's using one as a hostage. She throws that one down. She sleeps, sleeps. She's like hitting him and fucking him up and doing all this stuff, whatever. And then they got it all cleared out. She's about to touch Kevin Bacon. Another cop car comes. Drax flips that cop car. You can't just kill people. What do you expect me to do? I don't know the rules. And then she walks over there, checks in on them. We're okay. Here's a candy cane. We're even. I love that whole thing. This is candy cane. Does this look like a man?
One of the Easter eggs here, I was watching New Rock Stars, and Eric Voss realized that the security guard, like the main guy that they're talking to,
yeah,
is named Bruce. He's like the actual head of security for Marvel Studios.
Oh.
And he's been now a security guard in a couple different projects.
Oh,
he
that's
was
cool.
In She-Hulk and like,
oh, that's great.
I mean, I guess in theory it could be the same character there, like, because they're both in LA there. But the other thing that's funny is when the press tour happened before Infinity War, and it was Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo, and remember Mark Ruffalo spoiled Infinity War, like, where there's this moment where they're being interviewed and he's like, yeah, like what do you think about the movie? And it's like, yeah, man, this one's crazy. Like, everyone, like, half the people die. And then Don Cheadle's like, dude, like, what the fuck? And, like, Mark Ruffalo's like, oh, damn, I messed up. And he, like, whispers to Don Cheadle, he's like, Bruce is going to be mad at me, isn't he? And it's like, it's Bruce, the security guy.
That's funny. That's funny as hell. Anyways. You know, Kevin Bacon crawls underneath a fence. Mantis and Drax head him off. She finally touches his head and says, you're super excited to go on this mission. He says, I'm super excited to go on this mission. And then he's like, where are we going? He's like, or when are we leaving? He's like, right after we go in there. And it's a Christmas store. We then cut to them in the ship flying back to nowhere, all decked out with all the Christmas stuff they've stolen from Christmas time. Kevin Bacon's sitting there. And Drax is like, tell me about your stories. Tell me about saving the small town through dance or whatever. He's like, oh, that was my character Rhett in Footloose. And then he's like, well, what about the time you defeated Jason Voorhees in the woods? Like, actually, that was this character, and he got stabbed in the neck. And Drax laughed at that, and then him and Mantis, there's a wide shot of Mantis putting together and looking at Drax. He's an actor! Ah, crap, man! They're all like, I hate actors. They're always
disgusting.
Yeah. Fucking great. But I feel like we jump past what might be the most important part of this entire conversation. Nick, did you feel a type of way?
Did I feel a type of way?
With the Fonz, Henry Winkler getting called out as being one of the heroes, potentially having
that.
A team up.
There is no greater villain. I don't know why they're talking about a hero team up. He's a villain, Nick.
I would just like the Fonz stricken from every record. Thank you very much.
I just like that you can't get away from him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He pops up out of nowhere in Black Adam. Now we're getting this reference here.
Get Wayne
just could have gone
suspected.
Either way.
I saw him hanging out with Patrick Mahomes the other day on the side.
Patty.
Well, now they're all dead to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, even Patrick Mahomes, that's fucked up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, I like this. There's a great line of Kevin. No, being an actor is a wonderful profession. He starts getting all like philosophical about it. And they're like, shut the fuck up.
You get to be somebody else. You have to, it's really fun.
You get to live many lives or whatever. Mantis touches them and says, you have to, well, they're like, we've ruined Christmas worse than Yondu, says Drax. We got to fix this. She touches him. You got to pretend to be a hero. He starts doing a British accent, talking about fighting Nazis and storming the beach and all that jazz. She's like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's like, no, normal voice, okay. And then he's like, I'm Batman. Nah, I'm the Batman. Oh, I'm Bruce Wayne. Drax's like, who's Bruce Wayne? He's like, no, just be yourself, but don't suck, kind of thing, or whatever. And he's like, oh, man, you know, usually this would piss me off, but this is, I'm okay with it, blah, 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 blah. We then get back to nowhere, right? And Peter's in the bar, and he's eating some Zargnuts and just chilling, you know, being sad boy times, you know, because Gamora's gone, but she's back, but she's gone, kind of. And then he hears something outside, like, what? And he sees Mantis, like, what's that all about?
It's a real, like 50 First Date sort of situation.
100%.
Between him and Gamora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching 50 First Dates the other day, like,
oof.
What's wrong? What do you mean?
Why'd you go back? There's so much else to
talk about. It was on TV when I was somewhere. I forget where I was.
Oof.
Maybe it was
like 50 First Dates.
I saw it once and I was like, I never need to see this again.
You know what? It was
a great film.
It's a great film.
It was a great movie. Yeah. It's when I was in my hotel in Austin like a couple months ago, several months ago. And I was like, yeah, it's a good movie. But it's really sad near the end of it because you're like, it's such a weird predicament. What do you do, Adam Sandler? Like every day he shows her a little VHS tape and soon enough that VHS tape, like you got to burn that on
DVD. See, it's like a horror movie.
No.
Kevin, give me this thing here. Right? Future Greg, really it's funny. Me, Greg. If you're seeing this, you've done the 50 First Date thing where they've reset your brain, all right? You wake up every day and you think you're like 16 or whatever. In your house, there's a gun, all right? You got to get out of this, man. You just got to stop. You don't want to live this way. This is a horror movie. This isn't a romantic comedy. Think about this fucking movie. You remember this movie? Did they reset you past this movie? She wakes up. She's had all these fucking kids. That's a lot to relearn every fucking day and then be like, you know what? I'm having a real connection with these people. Restart your life. Memento it. They didn't reset you. Go watch Memento. Take notes on that and just write shit all over your body and get loose in the world.
Get loose in the world.
Loose in the world. Put it on a fucking shirt.
Have you ever thought about that? Because I have. What if I was just unmoored? What if I was Weapon X out there, loose in the world? Every week it's a movie. No, it's a show. And every week I'm in a new town, starting over. You know what I mean? I get the job as the busboy, and I'm smashing glasses. Nobody understands what I'm doing. I'm loose.
I'm Greg Miller. You're watching Getting Loose in the World.
I'm sorry. I
this week I'm in Tucson, Arizona, where I'll be an oil rigger until I decide a funny way to screw it all up.
So wait, I'm sorry, Greg. You have the power of Weapon X, and you're going to use it to throw some glasses on the ground as a busboy.
I don't have the power of Weapon X. I'm just feral like Weapon X. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I have no more ties. Jesus. I have no more ties to Jen, Ben, you guys. You know what I mean? I'm just out there.
Yeah, get loose
in Tucson.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We get the reveal here of the third of the Guardian ships, the Bowie.
Yeah, real cool, fantastic, right? Because, of course, they pop out. You know, they do the whole thing. They do all the lights. Man, everybody's helping. Even Nebula, who, like, rolls her eyes but still pulls her thing. And they have the fog thing. And it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. And then, yeah, they wheel out the box. And there's this, oh, you guys shouldn't have. And then he hears the rump and she's shaking. And then he has that moment of realization of, like, shit, I know these guys. They did not do what I think they did. Opens it up. It's Kevin Bacon. Why is Kevin Bacon here? We got him from Earth. This isn't a present. You got me a human being as a present. What do you get for the man who has everything? This is human trafficking, right?
Great line.
And he's like trying to calm Kevin Bacon down, and he's like he's doing a good job at it, but then like Groot is like, I am Groot. What do you mean you knew this was a bad idea? I saw you, bro, I just saw you wheel him out. You know what I mean?
Dude, fucking thick, swole Groot. It's just awesome.
Yeah. And so they undo Kevin Bacon's mind control, get the Bowie ready. You know, he freaks out and runs. And like, go get Kevin Bacon, and then
you can't outrun me, Bacon.
So fucking good from Gamora. So fucking good.
Nebula.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
From there, they they put him. It's Kraglin puts him in the ship or whatever, and we're gonna fly you back. Sorry about all this. It's just because Pete, you know, loves you so much, and he's the great. You know, he learned from your movies how to be a great hero. Now he's probably the world's biggest, your greatest hero or whatever. Somebody killing a chicken in the other room.
No, Kevin, cut to this camera.
Fucking looking at me. I know he's looking at me.
Kevin, cut to this camera, and I can see in my peripheral. So I just kind of looked at the camera, and I just hear.
Because he's looking at me. I know he's looking at me.
Kraglin does a good enough job here, right, of, you know, telling him and changing his mind. And then Keira Knightley calls, right? And she's just like, hey, when are you going to be home? Keira Knightley calls. Is Keira Sedgwick? No, I knew that. I just fucked it up. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
Fucking goddamn it,
Keira, I'm sorry. You don't have to come in the room. Anyways, I'm gonna be a little bit late. Is it okay if I'm a little bit late? I need to teach. My friends need to learn about Christmas.
Love
it's just it's a funny TV show holiday special moment, right? And so yeah, then it's Kevin Bacon and the old 97s singing a new Christmas ditty up there as we montage around and see everybody celebrating, having fun, everybody exchanging presents. You know, Peter gives Groot his Game Boy. Groot goes and makes little dioramas for everybody of things that have happened in the special so far, and then Kraglin getting his gift and laughing at the gift.
It's
fucking
so
funny.
Good. It's so
fucking
stupid.
Funny, right?
I'll tell you what though, Tim, were you bothered by the bars of the lyrics?
They do a weird thing where it's like,
it's weird, man.
There's the thing about pumpkin pie or whatever, or a peach pie, where it's like, this doesn't rhyme.
It's just like the rhyming format they're going with. It's just not great, but then they're just like fitting in words, and then suddenly they're silent. It's just bothering me. This is why this is like the worst one on the MCU.
Damn.
We also get Mark Hamill, but it's not Mark Hamill.
Yeah, when I saw that originally, I was like, wait, what?
There's like a character like that's like just drinking on the streets, and like there was a ton of rumors that Mark Hamill was going to be in this as Santa Claus, which would have been fucking amazing. And then we see this like dude that like it's fucking Mark Hamill. Sitting there drinking, and it's not. They've come out and confirmed it is not Mark Hamill. It's this other guy.
Why would they have it? That was an awkward ass shot too, because it cuts to him sitting there drinking, and then it cuts to the sign next to him that falls over or something. Right?
It's really weird, but it's not Mark Hamill.
Also, like we said earlier, this is where Nebula gives Rocket Bucky's arm. Of course, on Twitter, James Gunn was asked about this. Is that really his arm? And he said, yes, that is really his arm. She went down to Earth and got it or whatever, and some moron responded. Bucky defeats Nebula. There's no way she stole his arm. Has no sense. Like, whole Phase 4, pure forced inclusion of shit, to which James Gunn responds, I'm not sure how a cyborg with advanced alien technology tearing off a human's arm because of an overabundance of Christmassy spirit is forced inclusion. But now it's canon. Sorry. Go get him, James.
Love that. Love that energy. And I love Rocket getting this arm. It's like, this is James Gunn playing with the world, playing with what he set up, and just having these great payoffs. And I love that we're getting payoffs in special presentations.
Yeah.
Super damn cool.
Of course, this all goes and has a great time. And then we lead to the end here, which is, you know, Peter and Mantis.
Before that, though, I do want to give a shout out to Nebula dancing. It made me laugh so hard. Which is the...
We need a cut of hilarious. We need a cut of that, and we need Bacon Guy. Yeah.
Yes.
For whatever reason, that reminded me of Elaine dancing in Seinfeld.
Sure. Yep, that's a good one. And so yeah, then it's Pete and Nebula, Pete and Mantis, and you know, they have the conversation, and it looks like, I thought they were gonna do the thing where she doesn't, but she still does. She tells him, of course, that she is in fact his sister, or that, you know, Ego was her father. And also, I thought really great acting from Chris Pratt here, because she's like doing the stilted talk, and there's something I have to tell you about Ego, and when they cut back, or something about your father, and he cuts back Ego, what, he gets like fired up of like, is he still alive? Is this something we have to go do? And then it's the reveal that no, he was my father too. And she does a great job acting here too, I think, because it is, he is my father as well. And then he does the, of course, beautiful Christmas moment of, wait, this means you're my sister? Yeah. And she's crying, and he's like, well, this is the greatest gift you could have given me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just brought the tears.
And then, great, we have Guardians 3 coming out. Just like, they set this up just to rip it all apart.
Yeah, sure, sure.
There we go. Thank you, Kevin.
So yeah, they hug. We go to credits. You can either sit through them or skip them with Disney Plus. And then, of course, you get to Groot being dressed as the Christmas tree by Rocket and Cosmo. He eventually drops his arm, and Rocket declares, Christmas is ruined. Now we got another holiday special. And that is the end of the Guardians holiday special.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. It's time for Ragu Bagu.
Really quick, didn't we get a throw where someone's like, all right, we'll see you guys in Easter or something?
Yeah, on the way out, Kevin Bacon said, I'll be back for Easter.
Yeah. So Ragu Bagu, I mean, I like,
excuse me, hit the song. For it. Wow, Nick. Wow, Nick. Wow. You know what I mean? I understand being sick and under the weather, but not to say Ragu, not to say Bagu.
Ragu. Bagu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys Podcast. In the podcast, we rank all the villains of the MCU and other universes. Currently, we break them up into tiers, and we have something like 51 people on the list right now for bad guys. Is there a bad guy in Guardians Holiday Special?
No.
No, right?
Not really.
Yeah, so no.
Y'all should create a new category. It's just no bad guy.
No goo bogu.
I mean, we could do it where that does mean...
Put it at number one on the list.
Well, now it would be like that, you know, since there isn't one, do they go to number 52? Are we that committed to it that there has to be an entry currently?
Can you put it last, but like make it look different just so we know that there's something different about
number
it?
51 currently...
Is Jessica Chastain in the Zelda
Mummies.
And I
don't want it under that. You know what I mean? This is like... after this, the list just cuts off.
Yeah,
I like that. But I want to keep track.
Different colors.
Okay, so I'll put NA. Like I'll put NA in a yellow over on it.
Thank you. Yeah. That would be perfect. And now it's time to rank the MCU. Kev, could you please bring up the rankings so far? These things are adding up, y'all. We have 39 currently. This will be our 40th entry in Marvel Studios MCU in review. Number one, Endgame. Two, Infinity War. Three, No Way Home.
This is the wrong one, Kev.
This is the wrong one? We're going to wait until we have the new.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the wrong one.
Give me
ranking.
One second, because I...
Alex, in the chat.
39? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
This is this?
It's whatever's in assets that I sent through.
Yeah, I believe it's this. Give me one second. The file's called ranking1-39.png, right?
That is the most recent one you've sent through, Andy.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing Wakanda Forever on this list.
Yeah, Wakanda Forever?
It's the one in Slack has it.
No, I mean, if...
Andy.
Okay, no, he's right, Kevin. The one in Slack does, in fact, have it. 1-39.png has Wakanda Forever.
Huh. All right, well... Fuck, give me a minute.
No problem. Take your time, Kev. Because over here in the chat, Alex calls out actors are the real villains. We did skip. That was my, a fucking amazing line from Nebula. I guess all actors aren't complete pieces of shit.
Or maybe the real villain, James Gunn, not paying tribute to the... the theater, the Chinese
right.
theater.
You're right. James Gunn's the villain.
Yeah. Sadly, we've already locked it in, so we can. We will refresh. We're going to refresh our tweet to James, see if he's responded yet. Andy is dumb. No.
I haven't seen any replies, though. Yeah.
Well, I
DJ Kento has given us an article, if you want to do that.
Whoa.
We can wait till What's-His-Face writes in, but he gives us a James Gunn, that's his name. We got this cover. It says, it has his article about it from... J.S. Smitha, dude to Roy.
What?
Yeah, what? Roy. Guardians, the special Footloose. I hate it that they do this, where it's like, it's a headline. Just give me a yes or no answer. Now I got
to
read.
Well, I mean, they want you to scroll down. They want you to get the ads.
What's the last movie in this? I want to make sure this list is...
Thor Dark World.
No, sorry.
You want to go to number 9, and you should see Wakanda Forever.
I'm going to read the list right now. Number 1 is Endgame. Number 2 is Infinity War. Number 3 is No Way Home. Number 4 is Homecoming. 5, Civil War. 6, Ragnarok. 7, Winter Soldier. 8, Guardians 2. 9, Wakanda Forever. 10, Loki, which I love that Andy put Wakanda. The number 4, EVA. Number 10, Loki. Number 11, WandaVision. Number 12, Avengers. 13, Guardians 1. 14, Shang-Chi. 15, Love and Thunder. 16, She-Hulk. 17, Iron Man. 18, Far From Home. 19, Black Panther. 20, Doctor Strange. 21, Werewolf by Night. 22, Multiverse of Madness. 23, Hawkeye. 24, Miss Marvel. 25, Falcon and Winter Soldier. 26, Captain Marvel. 27, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 28, Ant-Man. 29, Black Widow. 30, Iron Man 2. 31, Age of Ultron. 32, First Avenger. 33, Iron Man 3. 34, Eternals. 35, What If? Someone gave it to me.
There you go. He's got it up. Good job.
36, Moon Knight. 37, Hulk. 38, Thor. And 39, Thor, The Dark World. Gotta love it.
I'm going to put this. I'm going to start the bidding, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this above Iron Man 3.
So Andy would say number 33. So above Iron Man 3, below First Avenger. Jesus, what are you Jesusing, Greg? Where are you going to place your bid?
The way I do it, right, because you guys have such a fucked up list here, of course.
Oh, don't say you guys. No, how fuck off you. With that.
I mean, Love and Thunder at 15, huh? That's what you wanted to do.
I sat next to you cracking up the whole fucking time, buddy boy.
That's where the goats are on,
buddy boy.
You buddy boy.
Buddy boy.
So, I go from the top of the list down where I get to the first one where I'd rather watch this than that kind of thing. That's how I do this thing, right? Which sucks because I love She-Hulk, but I put it at number 15 above Love and Thunder.
Now,
if She-Hulk was where it should be and higher than Love and Thunder, we'd have a conversation. Iron Man 2, Far From Home.
So Greg's at 15, under Shang-Chi, above Love and Thunder. I would go below Hawkeye, above Miss Marvel, at number 24. Number 24.
I liked the special a lot, but I don't think it really resonated that much. I mean, it was fun, but I think it's kind of a throwaway. I would put it probably above Eternals, below Iron Man 3. Yeah, I just feel like this one was like, it's fun. These are cool in the moment, but I'm not going to think about this ever again.
I feel you. I'd rather watch Justin Hammer popping off in Iron Man 2.
I think I will watch this infinitely more than the rest of them.
My put.
So there we go. That means it is number 33 underneath First Avenger and above Iron Man 3.
Real quick, this is an interview from James Gunn in his interview with Variety. Kevin doesn't like Christmas. That part was hilarious to me. I have Kevin showing up on set in what is supposed to be his house, and it's filled with these enormous inflatables. Oh, it looks like Santa Claus vomited all over the Bacon house, which looks nothing like Kevin Bacon's house in any way. Oh. It's so L.A. looking, which is just not Kevin. But Kevin is a super nice guy. He's so talented.
Or this is exactly what they want us to
do. Yeah, that's what they want.
It is his house. They're trying to throw us off.
That's a good showrunner protecting the actor. That's good stuff.
Smart.
Yeah. So there you go. I love everybody. We will return again for MCU in review for Phase 5 when it kicks off with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, in just a few short months. But until next time. Oh, I need to read the final Patreon producers. I'm going to do that. Ryan Anderson, Kenny Kimball, Eric Velasquez, Ivan Quiz, Scotty Wyatt, Alex Gradle, Mama Murr, Al Tribesman, Jacob Meyer, Stefan Stryker, Gordon McGuire, Burt Meig, Jason L., James Davis Makes, Nanobiologist, Aero Joe, DJ Kento on Twitch, Ryan T. from Tennessee, Derek Garrick, Donald Eccles, ShortFuse06, Jordan Harrison, and Sean Valoric. Thank you all so very much. But until next time.
Have a marvelous day. And you know what? Kevin Bacon's probably got a lot of wood in his house, I'd assume. A lot of wood finishing carvings.
That makes sense.